Tonight we cover the Gospel of John. We finish it. Next week we get back into Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you that you're in our midst this morning. And that you are alive, risen from the dead and in the midst of us. And Lord, we also recognize that your word is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And we give you permission to do that necessary surgery on our own hearts. Lord, restore us to that intimacy and that full potential of fellowship that we can have with you that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said unto him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said unto him, "Tend my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Going on, he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Anytime we sin or we fail the Lord, it's always a tactic of Satan to come along and persuade us that since we've already blown it and already sinned, that we've ruined our chances for a fruitful Christian life. And so we might as well just go on sinning. And he'll whisper, "What the heck? You've already blown it. You've already ruined it. You're beyond the point. Why don't you just go ahead and keep sinning?" And it is always that lie of Satan that he seeks to persuade us with. And it is a lie. The Jesus method is that of repentance and restoration back to fellowship. And this is the point to which we come this morning with Peter. This restoration of Peter. For in these few verses is a private interview, a personal interview with Peter. And you remember Jesus said something to Peter one time. He said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has been asking for you that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have returned unto me, strengthen your brethren." Jesus said, "Peter, you will fail, but you will return. I'm going to strengthen you again." In these few verses, we get to the return of Peter back to Jesus Christ and Jesus restoring Peter back to usefulness. You remember Peter did fail the Lord. He abandoned Jesus Christ when he needed him the most. He left him. He denied him three times. He sat in that courtyard and he said, "I don't know him." But here Jesus Christ never has abandoned Peter. Never has failed Peter. And like a skillful surgeon, Jesus Christ performs one of the first heart transplants. Cutting away at the heart of Peter and putting in a new heart. Stripping Peter bare. Confronting Peter. Not only with his sin, but with the forgiveness of God. Peter was so unstable. Peter was like a jellyfish. No real stability. Always impetuous. So many faults running through this guy. But Jesus always hung on to him. And still worked with him. Now, this is an encouragement to all of us. Because all of us, no matter who you are, no matter how spiritual of a Christian you are, you have at some time failed the Lord. And there will probably be times in your future that you're going to fail the Lord. We all do. We're not all perfect super saints. And I have heard some Christians say, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. I say, why do you think that? Well, I don't feel as close to the Lord as I used to. And I think that I've just gone overboard. I've gone so far, I can't get back. I've committed the unpardonable. No, you haven't. You can come back. The fact that you're worried about committing that unpardonable sin shows that you haven't committed it. Yes, maybe you're not as close as you used to be. Maybe there's some sin in the way. But God can forgive and restore like He did to Peter. Now, to understand this restoration or this return of Peter, we need to understand the fall of Peter and see how and why it happened, real briefly. Turn back to the 13th chapter of John. John 13. The scene, the upper room. The night before Jesus' crucifixion. In verse 21, Jesus, when He had said these things, was troubled in spirit, and He testified, and He said, Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray Me. And the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom He spoke. And there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, motioned to him to ask who it was of whom He spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to Him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, It is He to whom I will give the piece of bread when I have dipped it. Now, over in verse 33, Jesus says, Little children, I shall be with you a little longer, and you will seek Me. And as I said unto the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you. Now look at verse 36. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, Where I'm going, you cannot follow Me now, but you will follow Me afterwards. And Peter said to Him, Lord, why can't I follow You now? I will lay down My life for Your sake. Jesus answered him, Will you lay down your life for My sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied Me three times. Peter pledged his loyalty to the Lord. I'm never going to leave You. I will never deny You. I want to follow You now. And Peter was thinking how much and how intensely he loved Jesus Christ. Pledged his loyalty. And then Jesus challenges it. Sort of rebukes Peter. Peter, you're going to deny Me. I think in that upper room that from this point on, Peter didn't hear another thing. He was probably totally preoccupied with what Jesus told him. In fact, if you read all of the Gospels together, Peter never asked one more question the rest of the night in that upper room. I think he's just blown away. He's probably in his mind stunned. He's thinking, he's wrong. I'm not going to deny him. How could he say such a thing about me? If he only knew how intensely I loved him. Now, this goes on until they leave the upper room and go toward the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus was to be betrayed. And on the way, we get another incident, and that's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. And in verse 31, Jesus said to them, All of you will be made to stumble because of Me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I'll go before you into Galilee. This is a totally different scene. He's on his way to the garden. And Peter, he's been thinking about this. This has been on his mind and he butts in as usual. Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny Me three times. Peter said to Him, Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all of the disciples. Now, even though Luke's Gospel tells us that Jesus sort of supported this by saying, Peter, Satan has desired that he could sift you as wheat, but I've been praying for you that your faith fail not, and you're going to return, and when you return, strengthen your brethren. Even though Jesus said that, Peter was not convinced. I'm not going to blow it. I am not going to fail you. I will not deny you. I promise. And this was Peter's downfall. Because Peter, instead of listening to the Lord, trusted, relied, and put all of the weight of his faith upon himself. I'm strong enough. I'm going to hang in there. I've got so much strength and fortitude. Watch. I'll never deny you. And this was Peter's downfall. For as you recall, he did go to that outer courtyard. And a servant girl said, don't I know you? Aren't you that Galilean that was hanging around Jesus? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Not me. But you look so familiar. I'm sure you're the one. No, I don't even know him. The third time, the servant girl said, I know you were with him. Peter began to curse and swear and said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. That was a bitter evening for Peter. Bitter failure. He did blow it. He denied the Lord three times. Now in John chapter 21, this restoration, there's three parts of it. Three times Jesus asks him a question, three times Peter responds, and three times Jesus gives him a command. So we'll take these in order. First of all, we'll look at the questions of Jesus. Second of all, the responses of Peter. And then lastly, we'll see the commandment of Christ. Verse 15, John 21. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And look at verse 16. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And verse 17, same question. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now, what's significant about this? What's significant is that Jesus uses Peter's old name, Simon bar Jonah, son of Jonah. This was the name that Peter had before he met Christ. Remember in the first chapter when he meets Jesus and Jesus looks at him in the eye and he says, you're Simon, which means hearing, which was so unlike Peter. Your name is Simon, but from now on, you've got a new name. I'm going to call you Cephas, which meant stone by interpretation. Petros, same word, rock. Your name is Simon, but I'm changing your name. You're the Rock Man. I'm giving you a new name, Peter. I'm going to change you. I'm going to develop you from this unstable character into something strong and courageous. I'm calling you Rock. Rocky for short. Jesus gave him a new name. Now, Peter's problem was that he himself thought that he already was strong and courageous and like a rock apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus was developing this character in him. But Peter's problem is that he thought he was already that way. I'm already strong. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. They'll all be offended. I won't. And because he thought that he himself was strong, he fell. And any time you and I begin to think that the character traits or the talents that we possess are from our own doing, you will fall. And you know what? God will let you fall. You know why? Because when you do, you'll be brought to the end of yourself and you'll be forced to trust and cry upon the Lord. You see, God wants us to live by a principle. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. As long as you believe that without him you can still do something, you'll never be effective. So he'll get you to that point where he got Paul the apostle who said, oh, wretched man that I am. Because then you are forced to trust completely upon God working in you and not upon yourself. This was Peter, rock. He really was sifting sand, but he thought that he was so strong. So he calls him by his old name. Simon, son of Jonah, recalling back to before he changed his name to Rock, because Peter was so unstable. The second thing we notice in his question is the word love. He says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. Again, it's a technicality, but it's important In the Greek language, there are more words for love than in English. There's actually 4 words for love. We would sum them or lump them all together and just use one word, love, to apply to all of them. The word that Jesus used, Peter, do you love me, is a different word than Peter said, yes, I love you. The word Jesus used was the Greek word agapeo, which means an intense, fervent, unwavering love. The word that Peter used, phileo, was a word that means a fervent love, but less intense. It means I'm fond of you, I admire you. We will get the effect, if we would look at, just for the purposes of this study, as agape love, as 100% love, and phileo love is 60% love in the context that Jesus is using it. So the conversation would be like this. Peter, do you love me with an unwavering, intense, 100% love? Yes, Lord, you know that I'm fond of you. I admire you. That's the word he used. I love you with a 60% love. The second time he says, Peter, do you fervently, unwaveringly, intensely love me with that 100% love? And the second time, verse 16, he says, yes, Lord, you know that I'm fond of you. We'll get to the third one in just a minute. Now, the first question was, Peter, do you love me fervently, divinely, more than these? What did he mean? He meant one of two things. He could have meant these fish. You say, what do you mean? Why would he ask, do you love me more than these fish? Well, you have to realize that Peter was fishing when Jesus got a hold of him here. And that fishing meant a lot to Peter. It was his trade. It was his life. It was his security. Peter, do you love me more than your life? Do you love me more than the security that your job offers you? Or he could mean, and I think he means this, Peter, do you love me more than the rest of these disciples? Because he uses the word agapeo, fervently, intensely, divinely. Do you love me more than the rest of these people, these disciples? The reason I think Jesus meant that is there was a time when Peter said and swore to Jesus that he loved him more than the rest. Though all be offended because of you, I will not. I love you more than these. Now Peter's a little bit humbled by his denial. And Jesus says, Peter, do you really love me more than these? Is it true, Peter? What do you say now, Peter? Do you love me more than these? Peter said, Lord, you know that I'm fond of you. I admire you. He couldn't hide it any longer from the Lord. Now, we have to realize that Peter is not saying, I don't love you, Lord. He loved Jesus Christ fervently. But now he's not bragging about it like he used to. Remember the time he was so, you know, braggadocious about it. I'll never do it. Even if everyone flakes out, Lord, this is Peter. This is the rock man. I'm going to hang in there with you. I won't stumble. And he constantly affirmed that. He still loves the Lord, but he's humbled now. He's honest now. Lord, you know that I'm fond of you. He's not bragging that he's better than someone else. Now, the second question. Jesus drops the more than these. He just says, Peter, or Simon, son of Jonah, do you fervently, divinely, unwaveringly, unconditionally love me with that 100% love? As if he was saying, now, Peter, I realize that you can't brag about loving me more than the rest of these, but do you just love me with that fervent divine love, regardless of these? He was trying to lift Peter up to that high level of intense love, but Peter wasn't able to make it yet. He was honest and he said, Lord, you know, verse 16, that I am fond of you. I admire you. I love you, 60% kind of a love. Oh, how I admire you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Now we get to the last question, verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me with this fervent, unwavering, intense, 100% love? That's what he said the first two times. And every time Peter or Jesus asked the question, Peter said, I'm fond of you. The third time, in verse 17, Jesus doesn't say, do you fervently, intensely, divinely love me? The question is, Peter, in verse 17, are you fond of me? He uses the word phileo. Jesus now comes down from that high word of agape down to phileo, down to Peter's level. Every time he says, do you divinely, intensely, 100% love me? I'm fond of you, 60%. Third time, Jesus says, as he comes down, do you phileo me, Peter? Do you love me? Are you fond of me? Do you admire me? And his response, Lord, you know all things. You know that I am fond of you. I admire you. I respect you. I love you like a brother. I have that 60% love, not that agape love. Jesus comes down to his level, as if to say, Peter, I know that you're incapable of loving me like I love you. And it's correct, Peter, that you say that you're fond of me, because now you're not bragging, you're honest. You're laying your cards out on the table. But Peter, do you love me with that admiration love, that 60% love? At this point, it says that Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Now, the fact, and we'll get to it in a minute, that Jesus then commissions Peter three times, feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. The fact that he commissions him to do something shows that Jesus is saying, Peter, you love me with a 60% love? I'll take that. I can work with that, Peter. You're honest. I can work with you right where you are, Peter. And I'm going to commission you. I want you to go and tend and to feed my sheep. I can take that 60% love, and don't worry, I can eventually bring it up to that high level. But Peter, do you love me? Are you fond of me? Do you admire me? Now, you'll notice in this section that Jesus repeats this question three times. Peter's grieved. Why did Jesus repeat this question? Was it to embarrass him? So that all the disciples would go, yeah, Peter, we always knew the kind of bum you were, denying the Lord. No, Jesus didn't say this three times to embarrass him. It's because Peter denied Jesus three times. And because Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus is allowing Peter to publicly affirm his love three times. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Publicly restoring Peter. Now let's look at the responses of Peter, although we've sort of done that. In verse 15, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So he said, feed my lambs. Now, we don't have to read them all again because they're all the same. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. You love me? You know all things and you know that I love you. Now, we've already sort of covered the responses of Peter. We know that Peter never was able to make it up to that agape level and say, I intensely, fervently, divinely, 100% love you. Peter had learned. But there's another aspect of Peter's response that we need to look at. Peter constantly appeals, repeatedly appeals to Jesus Christ's knowledge. Look at these verses. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said it to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Verse 16, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know. He didn't just say, yes, I love you. He said, you know I love you. And then finally, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. And you know that I love you. The word to know in these verses is a word that means you completely, positively, absolutely know. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's positive, you know. Lord, you positively know that I admire you. You've seen me, Lord. You know that I've denied you, and you know. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important because there was a time when Peter, in effect, said, Lord, you don't know me. Though all are offended because of you, I'll never, ever do that. Well, Peter, before this night is over, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. Lord, You don't know me. You don't know how intense my love is for you. You have no idea. How can you say something like that? It's because you don't know me. If you really knew what's going on inside my heart, if you really knew my heart, Lord, you could never say a thing like that. There was a time when Peter swore that Jesus didn't know him. And even though Jesus constantly affirmed it, in fact, he said, Simon, Satan has been asking about you. I've been praying for you, and you're going to blow it. But I'm going to restore you. No, I'm not convinced. You don't know me, and you've got no right to say that. Now, three times, Peter appeals to Jesus Christ's intimate, complete, perfect knowledge. He says, you perfectly, completely, without a shadow of a doubt, know everything. Lord, I blew it. And you know me better than I know myself. And you positively know that I admire you. Now it says that Peter was grieved in verse 17. Why was he grieved? Was it because Jesus repeated the question three times? No, it's because the wording that Jesus used three times. Do you fervently, intensely, 100% love me? I admire you. Do you fervently, intensely, 100% love me? I admire you. Peter, do you admire me? Peter was grieved. He was grieved, I believe, because he was unable to say, I intensely, fervently, unswervingly, unwaveringly love you. That's why he was grieved. He was grieved because he wanted to say that. He wanted to love the Lord like that. Oh, he would give anything. And it hurt Peter that he couldn't do it. But if Peter would have said, oh, yes, you know, Lord, that I love you more than the rest. He tried that once before. It would have backfired. Now he's humble. He says, Lord, this is my response. You know all things. I can't hide it. I've blown it. You know all things and you know that I love you. Peter was unable to reach that level and therefore he was grieved. With all of his heart, he wanted to reach that level. But he was honest this time. Now, he says, Lord, you know all things. Now, this is something that we as Christians need to come to grips with, that God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. God knows everything about your life from beginning to end. All of the intimate details, all of the thoughts that go through your head during the day and through your heart. Now that can be somewhat scary, but can be very comforting at the same time. There can be great joy for us knowing that God intimately, positively knows everything about us from beginning to end. God knows the worst about you as well as the best. Warts and all. Flaws and all, failures and all, God knows what will happen a year from now. If God weren't omniscient, if God didn't know the worst and everything about us, that could cause you and I to live in fear. Because if God didn't know all about us from the beginning, we would be living in fear that someday, some little evil within us is going to surface. God's going to be taken by surprise. He didn't know about it from the beginning. And all of a sudden God goes, look at that horrible sin. I didn't know that was there. Oh, this changes everything. I ain't going to love you no more. Get out of here. I thought you were flawless. I didn't know you were doing that kind of stuff. And so often that's the kind of fear that we have as we enter relationships with other people, that someday they're going to find out something and they're not going to love us because it's not true agape love. But to realize that God loves me, the worst he knows about me as well as the best, and yet he loves me with 100% kind of love anyway. There's something very comforting in that. You're not going to ever take God by surprise. Even when you fail and you go, you yourself go, oh, I had no idea I could ever do something like that. See, that's what Peter thought. I didn't think I could fail the Lord. And he was surprised when he failed the Lord. Jesus wasn't surprised. He told him he was going to do it. Peter, you are going to blow it. But I've prayed for you and you're going to return to me someday, Peter, and you're going to be strong. You can't take God by surprise. He loves you even though he knows the worst about you. The Bible says that God is able to save us from down to the uttermost. Charles Spurgeon, the old preacher, used to say that God loves us to the guttermost. He knows the worst about us. He knows the depths to which we can fall, and that he loves us from the beginning. Lord, you know all things. You're omniscient. And you perfectly, positively know that I'm fond of you. Now let's look at the command of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 15, feed my lambs, which actually means be grazing, taking out to pasture, grazing my baby lambs. Second time in verse 16, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you positively know that I'm fond of you. He says, tend my sheep, or shepherd my older sheep. And then verse 17, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Are you fond of me? Peter was grieved because he said the third time, are you fond of me? And he said to him, Lord, you positively know all things, and you positively, absolutely know that I'm fond of you. And Jesus said, give food or feed, shepherd. He asked a question, Peter responded, Jesus gave a commandment. The second time, Jesus asked a question, Peter responded, Jesus gave a commandment. The third time, it was repeated. Now, this is a gracious commission of the Lord. And the reason I say it's gracious is because this is what we would not logically expect to happen. After what Peter had done to the Lord, we logically wouldn't expect Jesus to lift him up to that level of ministry once again. Now, if Jesus would have said, look, Peter, I love you and I forgive you. You are forgiven of your sins and of your failure. But Peter, as you know, I can never quite use you to the same level of service and ministry that I once used you. Peter, I'm sure you can understand that. And Jesus would have perfect rights, and we could understand if he did that. But Peter, you're forgiven. I love you, but you just can't get up to that same level anymore. But Jesus says, feed my sheep, which is actually a higher commission than Peter had before. Do you remember the first time Peter was called by the Lord? At the Sea of Galilee. Peter was fishing all night. Didn't catch a thing. Peter was bummed out. Comes in and Jesus is standing at the shore. And he says, hey, let's go out in the deep and go fishing. Oh, look, we've been fishing all night. We've been toiling all night. We didn't catch anything. Well, buddy, if you say so, we'll do it. They put their nets down and they caught such a great catch of fish. Peter was humbled. And Jesus said, don't fear, Peter. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. That was the first time Jesus called him and commissioned him to become fishers of men. Something interesting here. Look over at verse 3 of chapter 21. Simon Peter said to them, the other disciples, I'm going fishing. They said to him, well, we're going to go with you. And they went out and immediately got into the boat that night and they caught nothing. Same sea. Same experience. They've toiled all night. They didn't catch anything. Repeated from the very first time Jesus called him. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore and the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said, children, do you have any food? They said, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, hey, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea, and he started swimming toward Jesus. Now look over it, back to our text. Verse 18, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself, you walked where you wanted to, but now that you are old, when you are old, they will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said, follow me. Some years ago, he said to the same person at the same lake under the same conditions, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Now he says, you're not only going to fish for men, you're going to teach them, you're going to shepherd them, you're going to tend them. He restored him up to that position and even gave him greater responsibility. So beautiful, that restoration. New beginning for you, Peter. Same place, but a whole new thing. Now, Jesus says, Peter, you will die for me. That's what he says, basically, in verse 18 and 19. You're going to die for me. Now, remember, there was a time when Peter said, I'll die for you if I need to. And he wasn't ready. He wasn't able. He couldn't do it. Now, Jesus says, Peter, you will die for me. There was a time, Peter, when you couldn't even live for me, let alone die for me. But now you're ready. Now you're able to, Peter. I've restored you. I told you when you returned to strengthen your brethren, you've returned and now you're ready. And Jesus said, Peter, follow me. The restoration of Peter. Peter was broken. Now he was ready. The prerequisite for serving the Lord? What is the prerequisite for serving the Lord? 4 college degrees? Being sinlessly perfect? No, it's just that you love the Lord. Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me with just a 60% love, Peter? I'll still commission you. I'll still restore you. Feed my sheep. Shepherd my lambs. And Peter restored him. I wonder, as I look out this morning on the sea of faces, what God has in store for some of you. What God has planned in the future for some of you to be used mightily of God. Now, some of you need restoration and reconstruction. You need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, you know me completely. You know where I stand. But just take and let me return to you. Open your hearts and let God do open heart surgery on you. There's things that need to be cut away so that he can forgive and return you and restore you up to where he wants you to be. There was a man who was visiting his friends in a large western city. They were driving around town. The guys were showing him their town and just proud of it. And this is the downtown and this is the uptown and this is the shopping center. And they went by one large park about a mile square. Beautiful lakes on it and ducks swimming and big trees and grass. And the man was taking it. My, that's the most beautiful park. That's the prettiest part of your city. And they turned to him and said, you wouldn't believe that just a couple years ago it was the city dump. But they had a restoration project and they converted a dump into a beautiful park. And that's what God did to Peter. Peter ended up just being dumped on by the world. Jesus restored him and he said, feed my sheep. Now you're ready to follow me, Peter. You're even ready to die for me. Follow me. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for unmerited favor, divine love, 100% unswerving, unwavering love, agape love that you give to us. And Father, we look at Peter and we see so much of ourselves in him. Father, do surgery on us this morning if we're boasting about our strength. Show us that apart from you, we can't do a thing. Bring us to that place where we're wholly surrendered to you. That we don't act like super saints or have some kind of false spiritual image of ourselves, but we realize we're just mere mortal men whom you're able to work with and restore and use. And Lord, we want to follow you. Restore us. Turn us into things of beauty for your sake. Father, I pray that if there's those this morning who have never had surgery on their hearts spiritually, they're still uncircumcised in heart, that you'll take, Father, and change them this morning. Lord, bring them to you in humility. Cause them to cling to you in Jesus' name. Amen.